Bob Seger, much better than Foreigner. Hot blood.
Hell yeah, that's right. There is no debate here. I will argue about the most random thing. You know that, but I can agree on Bob Seger.
The Silver Bullet Band. That's one of the better. I wonder if he was allowed to go with, I want to go Silver Bullet Band. No, we need to have your name in front, Bob. You're the draw, Bob.
Bob, everyone's coming to see the beard. You got to be up front.
So we talked about bringing phrases and wording back from the good old days, like whippersnappers that Irv and Joe have not let go. They've used whippersnappers.
You're not bringing it back when you've always had it.
So Benny sends us a message saying, I'm trying to bring something back. At work, I always tell my employees, spit spot like Mary Poppins. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Cuban Benny. Thanks, Cuban Benny. Spit spot.
That's spit spot?
Yeah, from Mary Poppins.
Man, I don't remember that crap.
I don't either.
People are always like, oh, yeah, you remember from Sound of Music? I'm like, no. I always ran out of the room when my mom and sister tried to play that.
Yeah, goodness
I'd go
gracious.
Play G.I. Joe or something.
Absolutely. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com. Is there a phrase you'd like to bring back, Andrew?
I brought back a phrase. Stiffs was a 1980s phrase that was used by Doug Moe. It seemed to disappear a little bit, and I single-handedly brought it back about 3 years ago.
Do you ever find yourself calling somebody, what a stiff that guy is, not even realize, oh, yeah, that's the name of my blog?
All the time, and it's taken on a moniker of its own. You know, when we first did it, when we first launched the site a couple years ago, we used it as much as possible. We have the weekly stiff list, which is for the guys who are deserving of some criticism or ridicule on a week-to-week basis. We have the annual Stiffy Awards, which will be coming out at the end of the year. See, anybody can tell you who the coach of the year is, the MVP is. I like to talk about who the least valuable player is, who the worst coach of the year is. And then we do our annual Stiffy Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow.
Recent recipients have been Donald Sterling and Chris Cowan of the Warriors. So I got to start thinking about who this year's recipient is going to be.
Who was the Stiffy of the year last year?
The Stiffy of the year last year was Allen Iverson.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He's a
bum. I could see that.
Did Marty see him in Turkey? That's a whole other conversation.
No.
We'll see. This is Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, joining Elephants in the Room tonight on Mile High Sports. Are you kidding me? That win in L.A. last night, that was remarkable. That's the junkyard dog, the JYD, Kenyon Martin, just saying, that ball is mine, and get away.
Well, as I wrote at Denver Stiffs this morning, I'm finally convinced. I've always been very optimistic, but I've been on with you guys, it seems, weekly since before and after this trade went down. And when it first happened, I said, you know, we're going to make the playoffs, but it's not going to be easy to make the playoffs. Now we're talking about being a four seed, and, you know, every big win we've had, there was a caveat. You know, we beat the Celtics, but they were reeling from a big trade, and they didn't have any of their big men. We beat the Spurs, but they didn't have Tim Duncan. You know, we beat the Hawks on the road, but they'd been playing horribly. You know, every game had a caveat, but now there's no caveat. I mean, we went into Los Angeles and beat a Lakers team when we were the underhanded team. And it's just remarkable. These guys are absolutely for real. It's just unfortunate that the melodrama put us so far behind the eight ball, so to speak, that we're not going to have home court in the first round unless we somehow take down the Thunder twice in 1 week, and that's a tall order.
Is it as much that the Nuggets did it, you know, with a lot of physicality versus L.A.? I mean, it's a statement beyond a win.
It was some physicality. I think that, you know, the rebounding, the fact that the rebounding was basically dead even, I thought was a remarkable stat. You know, you assume you're going to get out-rebounded by the Lakers. It's the same thing we've been talking about now, though, for 2 weeks. We have more bodies than anybody else. We have two starting fives. And, you know, a lot of times people have said over the years, well, these guys have two starting fives, but do they really have two starting fives? We have two starting fives. And so Kobe Bryant got worn down by the end of the game with Wilson Chandler harassing him. And Kobe made some phenomenal shots yesterday, but those things aren't always going to go in. And by the end of the game, he was shooting, you know, baskets off the side of the backboard. So we just wear teams down, and we come at them with waves, and it's just so much fun to watch. So it's a real pleasure.
Andrew Feinstein with DenverStiffs.com. If you have never read the website, read the blogs, it's a must-read. If you're a Nuggets fan, an NBA fan, DenverStiffs.com. You can also find them on Facebook. Andrew, you mentioned the depth this team has. Were you surprised that the Nuggets didn't get the whistle late in the game?
Oh, in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Didn't get the whistle? That's a serious question?
Well,
I've always said when you're playing the Lakers, you can't barely beat them because you will not win the game, especially in Los Angeles. If you're going to barely, you cannot barely beat them. You have to punch them in the mouth and knock them out.
But Kmart did not get whistled, and I think that's good for the ref for not blowing that up.
I agree. But, you know, typical Laker fashion. I mean, how about Ron Artest shoving Gallinari out of bounds? No whistle. How about Derek Fisher forearming Ty Lawson in the corner right in front of the referee? No whistle. So you're never going to get the whistles when you're playing the Lakers, but you can't worry about it. You have to punch them in the mouth. I said this in 2009. We were in the conference finals. You have to just punch them out. It's the only way you're going to beat these guys. If it's close, you're not going to win.
But the way they're approaching the playoffs now with, again, it's, you know, Gallinari had a night where all of a sudden he's sort of the lead dog. They're a wild card kind of bunch. How does that, I mean, you've seen a ton of NBA. How does that become a great thing for that team as they head into the playoffs where, you know, Oklahoma City and even beyond may not have an easy time figuring out who to stop?
If you look historically at some of the most successful leaders in history, whether they be politicians or business leaders or coaches, often the contrarian wins. And what George Karl's doing right now is a very contrarian style of coaching. You know, they always say you got to have seven guys or maybe eight in your playoff rotation. And to your point, Carl, we are a wild card team. Screw that. You know, let's be contrarian. Let's play 11 deep. Let's play Mozgov. Let's play Gary Forbes for a few minutes. You know, let's have the freshest team on the floor. I'd rather have a bunch of guys playing 25 fresh minutes than a bunch of guys playing 40 tired as hell minutes. And I think that's what we're seeing here. And then we are wild cards. I don't know who's going to step up on any given night. I mean, J.R. had a horrible game last night. And historically, J.R. Smith has to play well to beat the Lakers because he has no fear against them. And we still beat them. And we didn't even have Aaron Aflalo. So we are a bunch of wild cards, and it's just terrific to watch. I'm blown away, but in a great way.
And I think this team is truly putting that chip on their shoulder. George Karl is feeding that like a pack of piranhas, and I think they're just buying into it. And it is circle the wagons, us against the world. I know those are all just as cliche as it gets, but I think George is really feeding this.
Well, George is good at coaching in those circumstances. I mean, that was the same energy that drove us. Remember, 2008, entering the season, and I remember because I picked the Nuggets to finish eighth in the playoffs. You know, they had traded Marcus Camby. Stan was alleged of cost-cutting, and we had traded away Allen Iverson. You know, no one thought we'd even barely make the playoffs, never mind winning a playoff series. George was able to harness that us-against-the-world mentality and get us all the way to the conference finals. So George is really good in these situations. I think George almost thrives. He's almost a better coach, and history has kind of proven this. He's a better coach when the expectations are at their lowest. He's a great coach in those scenarios. And there's not a lot expected of this team. It was a joke watching the broadcast yesterday. Everyone's talking about the Lakers and the Thunder in the second round. Like, that's a foregone conclusion. I'm not sure that's a foregone conclusion. I think I'm going to be kicking myself for taking a few days off in May and being out of the country and missing a playoff game or two. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion.
Well, with the Nuggets making a statement kind of win that they did, because that sort of gets the eyes on the league upon them a little bit more. You can't deny a 15-4 record since the trade goes down. Is that the kind of thing that has made everyone finally start waking up a little bit to the Nuggets? Or are they still going to kind of come into the playoffs a little bit under the radar?
Well, they're not under the radar anymore. When you beat the Lakers on ABC on a Sunday and you're 15-4 in 19 games, you're no longer off the radar. Mark Stein, in his power rankings on ESPN today, I believe he ranked the Nuggets third. John Hollinger wrote a column today about the Western Conference playoffs, and I'm not joking when I say this. He said, number one, it's the Lakers. Number two, it's the Nuggets. And number three, it's everybody else. NBA.com, I think the Nuggets had the Nuggets ranked fourth or fifth today. So we're fine on everybody's radar. Now the expectations are there. So I hope they can maintain this us against the world mentality. But the one thing they have going for them is everyone is still saying you can't win without a superstar. And 30 out of the last 31 NBA championships were won by teams who had two, if not three, superstars. So hopefully that chip can still be used to keep this team amped up going into the postseason.
And the one is the Rockets first.
I was going to say the one is the Pistons in 2004.
All right. Yep. Then they'd have to
Akeem was an absolute superstar, and he had Drexler for one of those two championships. But that Rockets team was not exactly your traditionally built.
Just because he didn't have an H in his name yet, Reno, he was still a superstar, though.
Well, but he said two superstars.
And typically, teams have two. They typically had two. And they had Akeem and they had Clyde for the second one. But you also have to remember, if you look at the 1990s, you could win a championship in the 1990s with just two superstars because the league was so diluted talent-wise. They expanded from 23 teams to 29 at the tail end of the 80s and the early 90s too quickly. So there's huge depletion of talent. And until the younger players got better and until the overseas players came in, you could win with two superstars and a bunch of scrubs. Coming into the aughts, the last decade, you really had to have two superstars and an all-star complementing you.
And that's what the Rockets did with their first championship because they just had Olajuwon. They didn't make Drexler until the second.
And it helped that Michael Jordan was banned from basketball for 2 years.
Well, the NBA had a real dirt. Look, the NBA lost. People don't talk about this very often, but in 1994, I'm sounding like the real NBA geek that I am here, guys, just for you. In 1994, the NBA lost three of their best shooting guards in the same summer. They lost Petrovic and Reggie Lewis to tragic deaths, and then MJ retired. So the NBA was really void. I mean, Latrell Sprewell was considered a great shooting guard in 1994. So the league has come a long way. Now they can just keep superstars from stacking up on the same team. We'd have more games worth watching.
Andrew, how do you see the game tomorrow night going down?
Well, the Thunder have never won in Denver. Okay, they've played in Denver five times since moving to Oklahoma City. The closest they've ever been was this season. It was a 5-point Nuggets victory, but you never felt, having been at that game, you never really felt like the Nuggets had that one out of control. Prior to that game, they were all blowouts. So I do think the Nuggets are going to win tomorrow night. Friday night's going to be a much more difficult circumstance in Oklahoma City. But if the Nuggets can get that game tomorrow night, that's really important because then you're going to have the Thunder, all the pressure's then on the Thunder because they're going to start hearing those footsteps when the Nuggets come in on Friday night.
I wouldn't quite call the Nuggets locked in at number five just yet with five to go, right?
No, you know what's funny, Hungus? We're actually better off being six.
That's what my next question was about, because could they – you like the matchup they could potentially have versus Dallas.
Let me catch myself there real quick. On the one hand, you're better off being six because I like the Mavericks a lot more in the first round, those old, tired Mavericks. Yeah. I think we would definitely beat them in a first-round series. But then you're drawing the Lakers in the second round, whereas I think if you can somehow get through the Thunder in the first round out of the five seed, which I do think we can do – I'd rather take my chances with the Spurs in the second round than the Lakers in the second round.
Well, if they did, you know, you said you like the matchup with the Mavs potentially. Could they continue the momentum they have even if they dropped out into the number six?
You can't do that. You just can't do that. It's called pulling a Mike Dunleavy. Remember when the Clippers tanked games in 2006 so they could play us in the first round? It just doesn't work. You can't worry about everybody else. At the end of the day, if you're meant to be a championship team, you should be able to beat anybody. And I know the NBA is a game of matchups, but you know, the Thunder are marginally more difficult than the Mavericks, but the Mavericks are where they are for a reason, too. And I just think you want to delay playing the Lakers. I know we just beat the Lakers, but I would never get cocky about taking down that team. And you want to delay playing them as much as possible. And the best route to avoiding the Lakers is probably to be the five seed and win there.
Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com. Also, Jake's Food and Spirits at 3800 Walnut Street. 50 Cent Wings on Wednesday. Andy, we had a great time broadcasting live from Jake's. And then now, Comedy Night, Saturday, 8 o'clock, a new time.
Yes, sir, Reno. You guys, we loved having you there, and you missed our new Inferno Wings recipe, but we'll make sure you guys try that next time you're in.
Oh, no, we didn't.
We did it on air.
We did it on air.
Oh, you did?
We ate them on air.
Okay, but you were able to survive and keep talking.
We survived, and I think let's take it up a notch, baby.
All right, we'll take it up a notch.
Oh, boy, no. You can do it with Hungus. I don't think so, but Inferno Wings at Jake's Food and Spirits. Andrew, we appreciate it.
Gentlemen, have a good evening.
You too. Andrew Feinstein, DenverStiffs.com, Jake's Food and Spirits at 3800 Walnut Street.
Yeah, those wings were hot.
50 Cent Wing Night. You've had the barbecue, the Asian, the lemon pepper. Now try the Inferno. It's hotter than hell. Hot, hot. Hotter than hell. We're elephants in the room. This is Mile High Sports.